May I be helped to speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Her Majesty's 90th birthday, Victoria Wood, Ronnie Corbett, David Bowie, Terry Wogan. We're getting used to retrospectives, to tributes, to old footage and shared memories. Before the service, we saw some of the pictures of this city 75 years ago. Chris has reminded us of what it involved. Some people here lived through it. Many will have family names recorded in the books of remembrance held in this church and on the chapel wall of Ford Park Cemetery. And all of us will have been touched by the memories. In fact, it's a salutary thought that what we see in parts of Syria today was happening in our midst within living memory. But I want for a moment to take us further back into history to that Old Testament scene Isaiah describes, to a ruined city of an earlier age and to a forlorn prophet who is pouring out his heart to God. Your sacred cities have become a wasteland. Even Zion is a wasteland, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and glorious temple where our ancestors praised you has been burned with fire, and all that we treasured lies in ruins. You can still feel the anguish of the prophet 2.5 millennia later as he looks out over the devastation of his beloved city, an anguish felt by so many here, the sights and sounds that lived with them all of their lives. All that we treasured lies in ruins. Chris quoted a little bit from Pat Twyford. Here's how he describes people feeling in those dark days. Hollow-eyed for want of sleep, grimly silent and with vengeance and hatred raging in their hearts against the vile perpetrators of total war, they gazed on the sacred heart of their beloved city. Many places so long familiar had gone in a night, nothing left but a shambles, smouldering ruins, blackened walls and twisted steelwork. Bombing, then and now, is such a clinical, detached form of destruction. The foe so remote and impersonal that there's nowhere to vent our fury, no one to appeal to for mercy. There was no chance to say goodbye to the victims or to the city. So much business left unfinished. It must have seemed as if the judgment of God was raining from the heavens. And so the prophet cries out, "Will you keep silent and punish us beyond measure?" Well, God did not keep silent. His word came in Latin from Miss Margaret Smith, the, by all accounts, rather formidable headmistress of what was then the Western College Preparatory School. Resurgam. She had it, as we saw, painted on a wooden board and mounted upon the blackened entrance to the church. It's there on the front cover of the Order of Service, of course, as well. "I will rise again." It became something of a watchword through the long nights that lay ahead, a symbol of hope for a defiant community. For Resurgam speaks of the extraordinary amid the ordinary, that life could go on. In fact, one of the remarkable things for those of us who were not there is the way that somehow normality carried on in the midst of such unimaginable horror. I remember when I was the vicar here, someone telling me how, as a young woman, she remembers her husband driving her home through the worst of the Blitz, and among the falling bombs and burning buildings, he stopped because the traffic lights were red. others who were digging bodies from the rubble would pause to drink a cup of tea and chat as if they were at the allotments. Barbican children turned up for lessons and found empty chairs at empty tables for those who'd not survived the night. And in the face of the unthinkable, the community seemed to find a deep resilience within itself. There were the small gestures, sharing a pack of cigarettes with a stranger, offering lifts out to the countryside at night, weeping with those who wept, keeping up a cheerful banter in the shelters. And the greater acts, the dedication of the Salvation Army, the costly heroism of the police and firefighters, not least those whose names are recorded in the chapel over to your left. Lord and Lady Astor among the ruins. Lady Astor saying that should she be killed, she could think of no more honourable place to be laid than in the mass grave at Efford. Theirs was an intensity of community, a common compassion and humanity, which is easily lost in our more sophisticated consumerist society. The ordinary amid the extraordinary. And Resurgam speaks also of the new arising from the old. Some say that the city was rebuilt too quickly, too radically, to give it time to grieve. And that may be, but there had to be somewhere for people to live and work, and it does take time to heal. Those who rebuilt this church deliberately left the scars of war visible on some of the pillars, knowing that we carry the past with us into the future. But in some ways, the buildings are the easy part. The difficult bit is for us to rise above the past, above past hurts and bitterness. Some years ago, I remember a student from East Germany writing this in the church visitor's book here. I admire the people of this town to make such a beautiful church out of ruins. And then he added in brackets with an exclamation mark, it is not a good feeling to be a German. But think of our bombing of Germany and of all that East Germany had to endure after the war. For the war was not so much against a nation as against an ideology, a demonic force which could grip one of Europe's most cultured nations and drive it to Auschwitz and Belsen. We're able to say Resurgam because it is a word found above all on the lips of Jesus. He was the extraordinary in the ordinary, God made man. And as he set his face for Jerusalem, he spoke of the betrayal and rejection, the mockery and execution that had waited him there. And he added, after 3 days, Resurgam, I will rise again. He's the living proof that no tragedy can be beyond God's reach, no sin beyond his mercy, no life beyond his grace. That from repentance flows forgiveness, from death comes resurrection. In fact, Resurgam is a word not just for a city, but for ourselves. It's a call to trust in the one who is the resurrection and the life. I wonder if you remember that story of the prodigal son that Jesus tells, the young man who leaves his father behind to go to a far country, where after a while things go wrong. His life falls apart, he's left hungry, destitute, alone. And what does he say? I will arise and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned before heaven and against you. And I will arise is an echo of Resurgam. And it tells us what we must do to find that heavenly father, that we're to get up and set off back to him. And as in the story, we will find him watching and waiting, eager to embrace us. At the end of the service, before Bishop Mark, the Roman Catholic Bishop of Plymouth, pronounces the final blessing, as Joe said, I'm going to ask God's blessing on the poppy seeds that are to be planted around Charles Church, to honour those who lost their lives in the Blitz and to remind us of the tragedy of war. We all carry scars through life, but scars are wounds that have healed. They make us who we are. And our wounds as a city are healed. There are new people, new projects, new allies. It's a different world, but the scars remain. And we will be a poorer city if we forget the courage and kindness of those days, the resolve and resilience of a community in its hour of deepest need, and the promise of Resurgam, the God who brings life from death and hope from ashes. Amen.